start your day the Toby, Rabbi Shmuel Goldberg.
Today's Chofches Ador Sheni, is Koyach. Everybody present and even not here knows the Agoda. It's very hard to explain different ideas of the Agoda when you know it all really. But, okay, we will try. First of all, there's a pasuk in the Chumash. Very interesting. It says in the Zechiras, which you mentioned, some of us say it every day, Zocher es hayom hazeh asher yetzasem mimitzrayim, ki b'chozek yod hoisi Hashem eschem mizeh, v'lo ye'ochel chometz. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the end of the pasuk says, v'lo ye'ochel chometz. Chometz should not be eaten. So Rav Zalman Sarotskin illustrates this with the following idea. If you were to want to make a zikaron, a remembrance, a memorial for some occasion, what would you do? Well, let's see. In the world, history, they made tablets or monuments to indicate a particular scene or particular people, and the monument was there for a long, long time. That's one form of remembrance. Another form, I've never seen it myself, but if you go to the museum, British Museum, you'll see tapestries depicting scenes from many, many years ago. That's another form of remembrance. Says Rav Zalman Sarotskin, those have got chesroinus. Because a monument, first of all, doesn't last forever. But second of all, as we've seen in the 1900s and 1960s, when the new people wanted to change the old order, and they smashed all the monuments which represented the old order, the old tradition. We're fresh today. They got rid of the bourgeoisie. They got rid of them. We're now different. And what's left of the remembrance? Nothing. Except people's memories, however long they last. A tapestry, besides anything else, it wears out. Okay, they've got all sorts of chemicals and methods of trying to keep them, to preserve them. But the fact is, it doesn't last forever. And second of all, they can also be destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chach Mosai said as follows. A Yid is going to go from pillar to post. Nothing is straightforward in our history. And there would be times when we'd go out of Eretz Yisrael and we'll go to all sorts of places, Favofana places. And if there were to be a remembrance in the form of a monument, you wouldn't have it there. The tapestry, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. It's unlikely. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? You know, in Novi it says, Klei Goyla Asiloch. What's Klei Goyla? Klei Goyla is a keli in which you've got an earthenware keli and you take with you a little piece of clay, whatever it is, to cook. What do you cook? Flour and water. You take it with you wherever you go, basic staple diet. Wherever you go, flour and water is essential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there will come a time when perhaps you will not have anything else to remember it with. But you know, you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, lo ye'ochel chometz. Chometz should not be eaten. So every time when you go, wherever you go, Pesach time, lo ye'ochel chometz. And that will trigger off a memory in you, and you'll remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meiritik. And that's why that we in the Schiras we mentioned this pasuk, and it's connected. Lo ye'ochel chometz is connected to the Schira. When I was in Leeds, I met a doctor on Chol HaMoed Pesach whom I was acquainted with, and he told me the following. He went on his rounds Chol HaMoed Pesach to all sorts of places, and in those days the health foods weren't so common in England. And he came to a house a goyish house, and he sees a box of matzah on the table. I don't know if they were hand-baked or shmura or not, but it was a box of matzah. He was a bit surprised. It was a goyish house. It wasn't normal at that time for people to, ordinary people to eat matzah who have no connection with us. To cut a long story short, after he did his whatever he had to do there in the house, he was so inquisitive, he asked them a few questions. Just, of course, it turns out the grandmother, the daughter and the granddaughter were all Jewish. The others were Nishkevain Jewish, but they were Jewish. What they remembered about the matzah and what the matzah triggered up, I don't know. But they had a matzah. A matzah somehow was still preserved in their family. That's the story which I heard myself. Coming back to the Haggadah. The same as the ladies, and no doubt you know that very well, they already start preparing for Pesach from goodness knows when, from Purim, maybe earlier, they're thinking of Pesach. You make mention of the word Pesach, they get all excited. And that is the fact. A man also has to get excited. First of all, to help the wife as a separate issue, but also to prepare the Haggadah. Because what are we told to do on the night of Seder? Read it through quickly. That's not in itself enough. Okay, it's better than nothing. There are people who can't do better than that. But with the aids that we've got today and with the knowledge and information we've got today, there should be an emphasis on how to approach a Seder. In the Chazal, it always talks about children. But children grow up eventually. And then it's not for the children, it's for the adults as well. And if elderly people who sit alone, they've got no Seder, of course they've got, or it's a more sophisticated one in a way, because then they can talk on a higher level. But the basic thing is you have to mention and discuss in detail Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is the thing. In the Haggadah, there are all sorts of questions and all sorts of answers. So we'll try to illustrate a few. One of them is, it says, "Babuzer le'omarti el b'shor sheyesh matzah u'mora munachim lefonecha." When did I tell you to conduct yourself in the mitzvah of Haggadah, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, b'shor sheyesh matzah u'mora munachim lefonecha? They ask a kasha. What about Pesach? There's three things. There's Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. Why does it not mention Pesach? So there are two answers to that. One answer is Pesach only applies Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaim. We haven't got a Beis HaMikdash today, and therefore there's no Pesach. So you may think, if so, there's no mitzvah. No. Bavuzer le'omarti b'vishor sheyesh Matzah u'morah menachim lefonecha. If the Matzah and Morah are there, which is on every occasion, even the time of the Golos, you have to say the Haggadah, one thing. A second thing is, even Bisman Beis HaMikdash Kaim. Everybody knows the Mishnah at the end of Psochim, when it says, HaPesach HaChatzois Metame Es HaYodayim, which means, in other words, in order to prevent the Pesach from coming to Noisa, the Chazal said, Chatzos is the cut-off period. After that, you have to take the Pesach off. And if you leave it on the table, if you touch it, it's metameh es yodayim. It's a drabonon, but that tumas yodayim would therefore be a deterrent to prevent you from keeping the Pesach on the table. So that's after Chatzos. So the chiddush is, Bavuzer le'omarti. You might think that after Chatzos, your potter from Yetzias Mitzrayim, you finished by Chatzos. Kamash Malon, Avila b'shoshesh matzah u'morah menachim lefonecha, which is after Chatzos. It's the other half of the night. As long as the Rambam says, al achi techatvenu shino, until sleep overcomes the person, some quicker than others, but that is the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, it's more than even Shavuos by Nacht. Shavuos by Nacht, the minig is to stay up. Many people have got a minig to stay up, but the mitzvah of Pesach is even more than that. It's much more of a chiyuv to stay up as long as possible to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. Another thing. In the Haggadah, it tells us the following. When we talk to the Arbo Vonim, it says there, Ve'emoylai ba'avuze osra Hashem li b'seisim imitzroim. Ba'avuze, what's it mean? Ba'avuze, because of this, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. It should have said, this is the tachlis, it should have said, on this day, also Hashem li b'seisim imitzroim. What's ba'avuze? They asked that kasha. So I saw the following machshava. The volume machshava I saw in the Agoda of Rabbi Chiel Heller, which is in Oyer Yeshorim. And he says as follows. We're talking here in the Agoda anyway to the She'eni Yodea Lishol. The She'eni Yodea Lishol is a person who doesn't know too much. He can't even notice to ask the question of what bothers him. He's just sitting there, but he's listening. Otherwise, he wouldn't be at the table. Now, so he says as follows, what is this mitzvah of the pes of the matzah being so essential in the Haggadah? It says that you have to, about oinim olav devorim harbe, the matzah is oinim olav devorim harbe. By the way, obviously the matzah has to be on the table during the Seder. It shouldn't be at the side, on a different table. It should be on the table itself at the time of the Seder. Now, so he says like this. The Chazal say, when it says in the Pasuk in Shemois, that the people carried the dough, Misharoisam, Tzururis, Besimloisam, Ashikhwam, they carried it on their shoulder. But the Mechilta says, what is Misharoisam? I mean, nobody would translate it the bowls, but the Mechilta translates it, Beshiyore, Matzah, Umorah, Ashikhwam. The leftovers of the matzah and morah which they conducted the Seder in the night. Now they're in the morning of the departure of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So there, they took the leftover matzah and morah and put it on their shoulder. So the question is asked, Rav Nosson says, why didn't they put it on the animals? They had plenty of animals, they had 90 animals each. They were full up with all the rechush. They probably could have found a space there. So the Mechilta says, Ma tamud leima al shichmam ela shahayim mechavavim es hamitzvahs. They delighted themselves in the mitzvahs. Mechavavim, chavim loshen chivuv, of being very happy and very enthusiastic and in the mitzvahs which they had done. So therefore, they considered that the matzah and morah which had served in the Seder as achilas mitzvah, and that they wanted to show when they put it on their shoulder. But it says there's more to it than that. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan, when he went to a Suda of Kiddush HaChodesh, apparently they used to make a Suda, and they made a Suda in the Beis Vad, where the Kiddush HaChodesh, and that's where they had a meal. And what did Rabbi Yochanan do? He went to this room or this place after they had all departed, and he collected the pirurim, the crumbs from that suda, and he said, "Yehei chelki iman de kodesh yarcha rumshis," which means that my chelik should be with those people who were there involved in this mitzvah, and therefore he considered this shirayim. Yeah, you know what shirayim is. Shiore matzo omora, which is achilas mitzvah, is exactly the same thing. It's also lechaveva shirayim. So he says, the Gemara says in Brochus, that if a person wants a protection in certain circumstances, the Gemara discusses, he should put tefillin tied up in a beged in a place where he would otherwise have problems with a chveis, with shadim, whatever it is there, or sakona, and the tefillin will be act as a sort of a shmira, a sort of protection. So he says, when the Yidden were going out from Mitzrayim, they were going into a no man's land, into a midbar, a godel v'anora, as the Torah itself says, and there is potentially a lot of sakona there, so they didn't have any chafetz of mitzvah in their hand. Pashtus tefillin wasn't given them yet. Okay, it's a shaila when, but akoponim, they didn't have a chafetz shel mitzvah. So therefore, what did they do? They took the shiori matzo umara, which is the shiori mitzvah, and that shiori mitzvah prevented all sorts of nezekim, all sorts of damages happening to them, and the chaviv a mitzvah, the chivov which they had for the mitzvah, that protected them. No. So that's what we say to this person here. You're looking at me, the Sheini Adair Lisho, and he's looking around. He may not ask any questions, but he's asking to himself, what's all the fuss about? What are they making such a fuss about here? About what they're doing here? So, v'igalto levincha, tell your son, bayoimahu, don't be surprised that I am so excited about these mitzvahs, the matzah and the morah, because that chivov mitzvah, ba'avuzeh, because of this chivuv mitzvah, ba'avuzeh, because of that chivuv mitzvah, also Hashem li b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim. That's how I was zeicha to come out of Mitzrayim in one shape, in one piece, because that protected me and the Klal Yisrael from that disasters. The Mogen Avraham quotes this in the Shabbos, I think, that there's a minig, an old minig, isn't there, that the Afikoman, or the other matzah, I don't know exactly what, they take a little piece and they leave it the whole year in the house and they hang it up on a wall there, that's a shmira, that's a protection. And Mogen Avraham quotes it. Oh, not everybody's got that minig, but there is such a minig. Yeah, there is such a minig, I've seen it. Piece of matzah and they hang it up on the wall there. All right, wherever they put it, I don't know, but no, there's such a minig. Sure, okay. Zozan Azoy. But, huh? Azoy Zan. Okay. Now, another point which is mentioned here is this. We've just mentioned the Shenei Adair Lisho. What about the Rosha? The Rosha is a very difficult customer to deal with. Don't forget, we're talking about a Rosha, and the definition of a Rosha is not a Tinik Shenishba. A Rosha is a Rosha. He's Yodea Es Ribbona. He knows more than a thing or two. And he's saying, Ma Avodah Azos Lochem. What do you need all this fuss for? Come on, let's get on with eating. Forget about everything else. The Rosha. What do we say to him? So we say to him, well, you know, you're obviously not part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. So, Hakei Ashinov. Blunt his teeth. Take his teeth. What do you want of him? Babuzeos and say to him, Babuzeos Hashem Dib and say to him, Mitzroy. What's the point of that? What are you trying? He's making a point, rightly or wrongly, but he's making a point. And what do you say? Hake Yashinov. Give him a clap. Tell him his teeth. So Reb Zalman Sirotkin says as follows. I think others say this as well, this principle. When you find a person who knows, who's learnt, who's done everything, and he's gone off. Why has he gone off? Now, I'm not giving an education lesson here, I'm not giving a chinuch lesson, but why has he gone off? So you might say, he studied the Torah, I'm saying it in those words, he studied the Torah, and then he studied Lahavdil, other books, and he found that those books, Lahavdil, Elefavdol, it's more understandable than the Torah itself. So he's changed his ways, he said that much better. Is that the pshat? So he said, that's not the pshat. The pshat is quite simple. He wanted to go and do and have a free life. But he's got what he called a conscience. You know, they say a bad conscience is a conscience doing its job. That's the Yetzer Tov. What do you mean? He's coming along and he gives the person a conscience. I know of somebody who's gone far away. I don't know how far they've gone. But one thing they said to me, I can't stop making a brocha. I can't stop making a brocha on food. They're far away. They're not exactly 11 vovniks. But I can't stop making, that's what told me. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, I can't stop making a brocha. It's so ingrained in that it can't get it stopped. No, otherwise that would change it. But Bekitsa, this person, what has he done? He wants to have a free life. And he thinks the Torah is restrictive in every respect. But he's got conscience. So what does he do? He suddenly comes along with a new idea. I don't believe in it. If you don't believe in it, you can't have a conscience. Because there's nothing to tell me to do the opposite. Forget, it's very good. Now I'm reformed, or I'm worse than that. And I don't believe in anything. It's not, yeah, fine. So it's not for me, and therefore he can eat treif and he can do whatever he wants. So if that is the case, you have to deal with a person according to the source, according to the makor for him. You can't just go and give an argument, make an argument against him if it's not going to be for the right, from the real source of where he's coming from. So what do? We say to him, listen, you want to eat treif, divide us, stop eating. Hakeyashinov. You want to come along and say all sorts of things, but before you say anything, stop eating treif. If you stop, that's only an example, of course. If you stop eating treif, then we're on even ground, then we can talk, then we can say. So that's what we say to him. Hake yashinov ve'emeloi ba'avuzeros Hashem li mitzaysim mitzrayim. Maybe, if you're prepared to listen, maybe we can change the tune, change the idea. I once had a problem with somebody who came to my previous shul there on Shabbos in a car. And the Gaboyim came up to me and said to me that there's a man here who's come here in his car on Shabbos and he's parked in the car park. So I said, who is he? They said, they don't know. They saw the car there. They didn't know who it was. So I stood up at the bar mitzvah, it was a bar mitzvah, and I said to them, you know how important education is? That you see that there was a Nebuchadnezzar, poor man today, who didn't even know you can't drive a car on Shabbos, and he goes and parks it in the car park. So I suggest he leaves the car there till after Shabbos, and then takes it up. Immediately the man ran out of shul, and went out, so I knew who he was. So after davening, I spoke to him, and I said to him, you know, you're not allowed. Oh, we'll have a discussion. I'll come to your house. I said, you'll have to walk to my house. You can't come on the car into my house. Because if you come in the car, my house, you'll be biased. So first of all, get rid of that problem. And then we'll sort it out. Then we'll see. He didn't come. His daughter became a bit from, I think, afterwards. But that was nothing to do with it. That was the Rosh. Now, in the Torah, there are various psukim which depict the Arba Bolim, the four sons. The Kli Yoker in Parshas Boy says very interesting thing. By the Rosha, it says, "V'hoyo ki yomru aleichem b'neichem mo avodah azayis lochem." We quoted mo avodah azayis lochem. That's what the Rosha said. By the Chacham in Parshas Beschanon, it says, "Ki yisholcha bincha mocha leima mazayis." It says, Ki sholcha bincha mocha leima mazos. How do you know that the Rosha is the one who says, Ki yomru aleichem b'neichem? There are all sorts of explanations. One is, he makes a statement, Ki yomru aleichem b'ezokt. He didn't say, I'm asking you. He said, I'm telling you. You're telling me a question that's not a question. That means you're telling me what you want to say. Ki yomru, that's one of the pshotim. But the Kli Yoker says, interesting, that by the Chacham, it says, Ki yisholcha bincha mocha leimar, tomorrow. Why tomorrow? All right, so you say it was after the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he's asking you, because in actual fact, by the way, that in the Vaschanon, it's not Dafka talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says there, Mo'a Veda, Mo'a Eidos, Vachukim, Amishmotim, all that is referring to all the rest of the Torah, including Pesach as well. So he says, every person has got the right to ask a question. Everybody's entitled to ask a question. It's not everything is exerus akosim, and you can't ask a question. And so in the old time, the child came home and he asked, why we do that? No, I don't have baton. It's very nice, but if you can answer, you should try to answer. The problem is as follows. When do you ask the question? Do you ask the question before you do the mitzvah? Or do you ask the question after you do the mitzvah? If you ask the question before you do the mitzvah, that means you say, if I get a satisfactory answer, then I'll do it. And if not, I won't do it. That's no good. First of all, you have to do the mitzvah. Nase. Then, v'nishma, then you say, yeah, but by the way, I've done the mitzvah. So I'm not biased by the fact that I don't want to do the mitzvah. But I want to know the pshat. That's marvelous. The Chacham says, Ki sholcha bincha mocha, mocha achazman. After he's done the mitzvah, he asks the question. The other one, he says, no, he's no mocha. I want to know now what's going on. Aha. So in other words, you're making conditions with me. That's already not, he's not on the right track. That's the difference between the Kli Yoker says this in Parshas Boy. The Gemara says in Psachim, Maschil Bignus V'Sayim B'Shevach, that the style of the Agoda is, we start with the Gnus, with things which are not palatable, not pleasant, Gnus, V'Sayim, and you end off B'Shevach with praise. So the Machlekes Rav Shmuel, what is the Gnus? One pshat is, Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah, you Avodaseinu, and the other one is, Havodim Oyinu Lefaro B'Mitzroy. So those are the two aspects of Gnus, which we meant. In fact, what do? We mention both. But we mention Avodim Oyinu Lefaro Mitzrayim first, and then afterwards we say the other one, Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah, you Avodaseinu. So I saw the pshat is, why do we start off with Avodim Oyinu? Because Avodim Oyinu is, we could see clearly the cause and the result. We saw Avodim Oyinu and Vayetzinu Hashem Mitzrayim. But in the case of the Ruchnius, it wasn't so clear. It slept over of a number of deiras till Avraham Avinu came, and then afterwards it cleared it out. It wasn't so obvious. So therefore we say that one. But the significance of Maschil Bignus, to start with the Gnus and Mask or Messiah B'Shevach, is as follows. In Keheles it says, V'Yisroin Ha'or Min HaChoshech. There are various explanations. What's Yisroin Ha'or Min HaChoshech? So one explanation, apparently it's in Isaiah as well, but Yisroin Ha'or Min HaChoshech means like this. If there were no darkness, you wouldn't appreciate light. When do you appreciate light? When there is darkness. Then there's darkness and it comes light, it becomes light. Then you see clearly that the benefit of the light. So he says that's, so therefore the Briya of Choshech is important in order to know the Ur. So that's the pshat over here. We're saying Maschil Bignus, Messiah B'Shevach. If you want to appreciate the Shevach, that we are now Yidden, we're now mentioned, we're now not Ibn David Azora, and we're now not Avodim, you have to appreciate what it was like before. And then you can see the difference, and then you can appreciate, and then you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how pleased we are, Ashreinu Matev Cholkeinu Manoim Goroleinu. You know, we dip, we pour out the wine 15 times in Dagoda. Everybody's got their method of pouring out the wine, where they put it in a spoon. It's not just because it's Yekish, it's straight. Or you dip your finger in, you pour it out, or with a keli, all sorts of methods of pouring out the wine. 16 times, yeah. So the Shaila is like this. Why do you pour out the wine? What for? When do you pour it out? When you say the Makkas. Yeah, so you pour out. Very, well, why? Well, why is that? Why? Yeah, Tetzvav, yeah. Tetzvav, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, so the Shaila, so why do you pour out the wine? You ever heard that question? Okay. So, again, Zalman Saronsky, my favorite I got it, by the way. Hashiv HaShevach, it's been reprinted. He says that, like this, that when we talk about a Kosh Shabrocha, everybody knows that benching is a kosher bracha, and there's an inyan for it to be passed up with Shagra and Abonov and Bnei Beisai. He sends it over to the other people after the bracha of Beri Pri Hagafen is made. Then he passes it along to other people that they should also benefit from the kosher bracha. What's a kosher bracha? Because a bracha has been made over it. So it's got Epsazas Gula, it's a good thing, and we want everybody else to benefit from that. That's kosher bracha. What happens if there is a kosher klala? If a kosher over which bad things were said, we don't want to drink that. So since we're saying the makkas, which is in, for the Mitzrayim anyway, was bad for us, it wasn't bad, but for them it was bad. So it's like a kosher klala. So we want to sort of say, we don't want that. So we pour out each time by the makkas which represent the klala. That's what he says. But there is an interesting problem. And I don't know if anybody ever noticed it when they say the Agoda. The times when you pour out the wine, I mentioned the Makkas. The Makkas is straightforward. But there's another thing. All right, and the Tzach Hadash V'Achav, okay. But there's another point. It says as follows. The Baal Agoda does explain Psukim. B'yot Chazoko, B'Yisrael Netuyo, and it gives an explanation on each phrase. When it comes to Oisos, It says there, brings a pasuk there beforehand, which says, I took them out, Bizroyan the Tuy of Amir, God of the Isis of Amishim. That's in Devarim, okay, in Kisaba. Here it says, Uba Isis, what is Isis? Zamate. Kemoi Shinema, Vesamate Azetiak, Yodeka Ashtas of Amate, the Isis represent the Mate of Moshe Rabbeinu, which he did the Isis with. Very nice. But then there's another word in the Pasuk, Mavsim. What's Mavsim? Oh, says the Balagoda, Ze Adam. That's blood. And how do I know Mavsim is dam? V'nosati Mavsim b'shamayim v'aretz, the Pasuk in Yoel. Then what do we do? We say, and the rest of the Pasuk is dam, v'esh, v'simres, oshon. Two words and three phrases. And what do? We pour out the wine there. Why? By dam, okay, we accept that by dam. But what's the Eish and Simras Oshon got to do with it? That's to do with Yoel there. It's not to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And well, there's no point in pouring out the wine there. What's it got to do with it? Good kasha. How do you learn dam? Dam, yeah, the first Makkah was dam. That's how we always learn. No, he says, there's another pride of dam. You know very well, in a week's time, it's going to be Shabbos HaGadol. What was Shabbos HaGadol? Everyone knows. They took the lamb and they tied it lekari amito. They tied it to the legs of their beds. And it was there on the 10th of Nisan. So, what was this? The Mitzrayim said, what's this? What are you doing with the lamb? Our God. Oh, because we're going to deal with this in 4 days. What? You're going to shut our God? They were furious. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a ness, and they couldn't do anything at all. That was the ness of Shabbos HaGadol. Can you imagine, when it came to Erev Pesach, what happened? They took the lamb, and they shechted it. And the Mitzrayim were watching. They were blazing. Their blood was coming out of the lamb, their God. It's not just tying it to the Kari Amita, it's actually shechting it. And then, if you don't mind, they take it and they roast it in such a way, as the Meforshim explained, that you could see the lamb being roasted whole. It's Rosha Krov Al Kirboy, whole. It wasn't cut up in pieces that you couldn't tell what it was. It was whole. And then the fire made a smoke as our odor, which affected everybody. You know, there's a Targum which says that there were Yidden who hadn't yet had the hadn't had bris milah, and they wanted to have the kompesa because they smelled the odor of the roast. And I said, just a minute. First of all, you have to do bris milah. So they had to do bris milah there and then. Okay, it was in the night or whatever it was. But I called upon him. What do you think the Mitzrayim were thinking? They were mummish boiling. They couldn't contain themselves. So he says, that is the pshat here. Dom. Vo'esh, v'simras oshin is all connected to the Korban Pesach. The dam of the Korban Pesach, when you sprinkled, when you took it off, when you cut the shechted it, and you put it al mashke hashtem zuzas inside, outside, machlekes and mechilta, but you put it there, and then v'simras oshin, and the smoke came up, and they were blazing, and that's all part of the makkah. So there's a physical makkah and a psychological makkah. So this is also klola, and therefore we pour out the wine of those three words, three phrases as well. You didn't know that before. Yeah. Okay. V'achrichei yetzu b'rchush gadol. B'rchush gadol. What's r'chush gadol? So, there's a whole pshat in the Meforshim. R'chush gadol means the money, or r'chush gadol means midas. The Mephoshim say it cannot be just midas, because it says Dabe no Bosniaom, and they should borrow Kalim, Klei Chesef, Klei Zov. It can't be just midas. So what is Taka the Pshat? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind when he said they should go out with Rechush Gadol? So Bekitzer, I saw the following explanation. David HaMelech in Tehillim, that means it says that Tovli Torah Spicha Mi Alfizov Chosef. In the Pirkei Avos, when he mentioned that story with Avraham Chisma, the Ganser Meisa there, it says there, if you give me all the money in the world, I will not go to any dial of Mokum Torah. V'chein Kosu B'Sefer Tehillim Al Yedei David Malach Yisrael. What's the significance of that? I don't know where Tehillim is. Look it up. You'll see it. Tehillim is Tehillim. I know. But if it says, V'chein kosu b'sefer Tehillim, which was compiled by David Melech Yisrael. Why is this put in this conversation? Very good. Zokta Azoy. A few G'daylim say this. One is Valojana and one is somebody else. They say like this. What Rabinov said. If a person comes along and he wants to say to him, Hashiras is nothing. You know, you need other things. Say to him, what do you know about diamonds? Mr. Morgavain in Hatton Garden? Mr. Morgavain in the bus in Antwerp? You've never been there. You don't know what diamond is. So you say, oh, brother, this is better than diamonds, because you don't know what diamonds are. But what happens if you talk to a person who does know what diamonds are, and he has plenty, and he says that the other thing is better, then you already look at him a bit differently. So he said, that's the pshat. If somebody else would have said, "Tovli teres pichem alfis over kosev," very nice, good, better. How do you know? Well, you know what kosev over kosev is. David Melech Yisrael, he had riches, he had ashiras, and he says, "Tovli teres pichem alfis over." That's already a thing. Klal Yisrael, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they were ashirim. They mamish had 90 animals each, which piled up the ashiras. 54 million donkeys crossed the Yamsuf. 54 million donkeys. Yeah, you can count it easily. 90 times 600,000. So, you can't, and if they say, but the Torah is better, then you listen to them. See, it says pshat, which I never understood ever. It says in the Torah, V'gam erev rav ola imam, what's put the two together? The Erev Rav went out. 2,400,000 Erev Rav went out. The Targum Yonason quotes. And Vitzayinu Vokah. What's got enough to do with the other? Oh yes, it has. Because we had Tzayinu Vokah. So Erev Rav Amzikiklep. Oh, then these people know what they're talking about. Then therefore they became Geirim. They saw the beauty of Klal Yisrael. But if we'd been as our Shlempers and our Ananiim, they wouldn't have taken much notice of us. Okay, the time is up. I can't do any more.